This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:43 in the evening. You're with Lynn and Ayman, and our next story is actually a continuation of our conversation about the novel coronavirus. And now we want to look at how outbreaks like this can feed xenophobia and discrimination. And if you've spent any time online, you might have seen that there have been some unsavory comments and posts which have targeted people from China, which I think is just adding an extra layer of ick to a situation that didn't need it.
Yeah, so one example of this unsavory comment, right, involves the idea that this virus is a form of retribution for the way China has treated Uyghurs in the country. And it's these sort of apparent xenophobic perspectives that have informed some of the conversation that people have had and what they expect the authorities to do, which is basically to ban people from China from coming into Malaysia because they are seen as the problem.
Yeah, so I think that this is a complicated discussion and requires a very sort of specific look at what we're talking about, right? So for instance, I think if we're looking at what has happened, which is that there's been a suspension of immediate travel visas and things like that for people who are coming from the province, from Wuhan specifically, that's just sort of good sense. If you know that that is the epicenter of the virus, and you know that that has that's where sort of the highest number of infected people currently are in, mm-hmm. and the government of China themselves have sort of placed a quarantine around, placed a block, right? Like, yeah, people aren't traveling in and out. So I think that is different from the kinds of comments that we're seeing otherwise, like the one that you referenced, which is this idea that it is somehow deserved, or ideas that kind of feed back into very, very old perceptions surrounding Chinese people and their way of life and their diet. I'm thinking here of anything that has ended up on Fear Factor. You know, it's just a very old perception, right? This idea that, well, if you eat gross things will happen to you. I think that there's a lot to unpack from that.
I think where it crosses the line is when people start to generalize and start calling names or using derogatory terms to refer to them. So when it comes to that point, it becomes clear that it's not so much about the fear of the virus, but rather a hatred for people from China. And I think that is what is really messed up in some of the conversations that you can find on social media. And I'm just trying to think, like, where does it come from? And I mean, it can be all kinds of things, but first of all, I think it's a very easy way to put a face on a situation that you don't necessarily understand fully. So when you put a face to it, you think that you understand the cause of it, therefore you know what the solution is, which is to, you know, basically block people from China coming here. But it's more than just that. It's also about, you know, how we can respond reasonably without any kind of panic, for example, and not acting unnecessarily to a virus that so far has, although it has infected four people in Malaysia, there's still no human-to-human transmission. And I think those require different guidelines that haven't been put, you know, been activated yet, just because we don't have that human-to-human kind of infection.
For me, I think the other thing to look at is just also whether or not there is, I don't know, I think we'll get to it after we speak to our guest, because I think she's going to have a lot to say about this. Mm. She has, in fact, weighed in on this separately. But, I remember now. Basically, earlier, we played a clip from our friends over at the Daily Digest in the afternoon, where we spoke with Dr. Kor Swee King. They spoke with Dr. Kor Swee King, rather, to look at whether border controls actually work. And emphatically, his answer was no. not least because the virus has spread beyond China's borders anyway. So at this point, it's kind of moot. But I think the other thing that needs to be looked at here is really this idea that we're seeking false safety, right? We're trying to control a situation. We don't really know what's happening. And so by issuing what looks like a blanket ban, it looks like a big action, right? Like, you're taking a very firm step. And that makes people feel safe. And I think that that can end up being dangerous because, like we said, right now, it's actually the small things that are going to help. It's actually keeping your own personal hygiene, you know, taking care of yourself, care of your family. That's what's going to help. Not necessarily looking for these sorts of big, giant actions. So yeah, if you'd like to weigh in, if you feel differently, do let us know. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, we're also crossing over to science communicator Tina Camellia, formerly, of course, of BFM. Tina, thank you so much for joining us. So I guess the first question we need to ask you is, how do disease outbreaks feed discrimination and xenophobia?
Yeah, so disease outbreaks often make us become more paranoid, right? Our defenses are up. We become a lot more hypochondriac and more irrational than we already are. I mean, medicine is a specialized field, which means that for the regular Joes like us, we don't know as much as the healthcare professionals, right? Which makes us more prone to think the worst and not know how to handle that. So we kind of need to find this big bad guy always, right? We need to put the blame for the fear and the anger at something or someone. It's always this mindset of us versus them, and it's how we try to make sense of this chaotic time.
Yeah, and this isn't necessarily something new, right? We've seen minority groups and misunderstood communities blamed for the spread of infectious diseases before. For example, Mexicans became scapegoats during the swine flu outbreak. So why do you think that happens?
Yeah, you're right about that. I think if the disease originates from the upper social group, the default, say, the West European, like the E. coli outbreak in, I think, 2011, 2012, which originated in Europe, you don't see that xenophobic reaction in the global news coverage. When the vape-related lung diseases, which originated from North America, happened last year, also you don't see that. But I think there's just too much distrust in one another, too little empathy, too much anger and fear. And like I said, you need to find that big bad guy. And, you know, it's always the minorities, it's always the marginalized communities that kind of suffer the brunt of it, because they're an easy target. You don't have a voice, and your voice isn't always amplified, even if you have one. I think in terms of, for this case in particular, because of the origin of the coronavirus, which is from China, there's this little bit of anti-Chinese sentiment globally for various different reasons. So it kind of feeds into that and kind of helps cause this sort of medical xenophobia, which is really unfortunate.
So how does xenophobia affect our health then?
Yeah, so the risk right now is how fast the misinformation around it is being spread, right? It's at a rate that's so much higher than any infectious disease known to humankind. And that's going to affect the, for example, effective public health communication. I mean, our public health care system isn't perfect, but it is one of the best. And they're, you know, public health officials are working round the clock to do their best. But you can't have a rational conversation around the containment of this infectious disease, right? You get public health officials feeling the effects of fire hosing, which is having to tackle these small fires and flames of misinformation, and they're getting worn out. And I think that the media kind of has a role to play to keep that public sanity intact as much as possible, to filter the noise. Because I'm concerned about how it will cause us to even turn to more drastic measures, like taking some pseudoscientific treatments of fake vaccines that people are peddling, just trying to make a buck or two from this whole chaos.
So from a larger perspective, how does this end up affecting our healthcare policy and, for that matter, access to healthcare?
Yeah, so xenophobia is just one form of discrimination. And in medicine, and I've worked with hundreds of medical professionals across many different major health crises, from Ebola, Zika, MERS-CoV. I know it's possible for our healthcare workers to uphold the oath they took and to provide healthcare for all without discrimination. But when you have compounding voice of prejudice, it can affect your professional judgment, regardless of your profession, whether you're in medicine, whether you're in public policy, whatever it is, right? So I'm not too concerned about what you and I think, right? Because we are not in the front lines. The frontliners, the ones who have to face the public, the ones who have to face patients, they're the ones who are facing the real threats of not just the disease, but also the lack of trust in their profession. And the healthcare industry, I think, is always not properly being given the respect and the trust. Especially in times like this, I think they really do need our support, because otherwise then public policies can be made too hastily and then snowball into something much bigger and greater, that's created out of this panic monster that's just going to feed into more xenophobia.
So we spoke earlier about being more responsible when it comes to sharing information to ease the sense of worry and anxiety that we have about the coronavirus. What are your tips on what we can do right now as individuals?
That's a tough one, because if there is a solution, there wouldn't be so much noise whether on social media or you know, in the physical world, right? People are in a state of panic. But I think we need to remember that, I think we need to first acknowledge that, yes, the threat of infectious diseases are real, and that we have to take the necessary precautions, like, you know, washing our hands, wearing our face mask if we go out and feeling not very well, we should stay home, that kind of stuff. But in the larger context, I think just acknowledging that, first of all, we are not rational, logical people. We will react irrationally, and sometimes we might overdo our reaction. But I think to take a moment to step back and think about whether that overreaction contributes to addressing the problem. If it doesn't, if it just causes more panic, more chaos, more confusion, and feeding this monster to be a much bigger monster, then perhaps we're not helping out at all, and perhaps that is not useful at all of a contribution to the whole situation. So I think a little bit of calm in the madness is necessary. I don't really know how. Maybe some people meditate, maybe some people switch off social media, but I think we need calm.
Tina, thank you very much for speaking to us. I think either meditation or switching off social media is probably, you know, pretty good ideas overall. That was, of course, science communicator and former BFMer Tina Camellia weighing in on some of the more xenophobic elements in the conversation around the novel coronavirus. So we've been asking you for your thoughts. And firstly, Nini says, doesn't the ATM have more germs? And this is in reference to, I think, us talking earlier about the importance of washing your hands at a time like this. And I couldn't really find anything online except for one study which looked at ATMs in New York City, and they did find bacteria, but that's kind of predictable. And most of it came from human skin and food, which again is not exactly sort of your out of the ordinary microbes. Yeah, it's the ones you'd expect to find.
Yeah, exactly. ATM would arguably have more germs. Also, when you get on an escalator, when you hold the handle, right?
You're big on handles. You've been talking about them since earlier. The trains, now escalators.
Basically, just don't touch anything when you're in public.
We have also this message from Munif Malik.
On the flip side, I am super impressed with the Chinese government erecting hospitals in mere hours to tackle the crisis. Talk about a swift response. On the downside, leave it to us Malaysians to turn even a potential epidemic into a racial or political issue.
I have to say that has actually been extremely disheartening to see, because it's an unnecessary element of the conversation. Yeah. You know, in a time where everyone's kind of worried about, like our caller Rini said earlier, their children, their elderly parents, I don't see how that helps.
But I think that's just reflective of how, you know, people here tend to talk about things, right? At some point, it does become a racial or political issue. And is this a bad reflection on this? And if anything, I hope that this whole episode shows that, you know, we have this dark side that we need to like get rid of, because it's awful.
Also, on the positive, I would like to say that our Ministry of Health, I think, has done really well in terms of communication. They've been timely. They've been up to date. They have also, I think, done their level best, not just to contain it, but also to keep people reassured and to ensure that we are in possession of as much information as possible, which I think has been helpful. I mean, they've really been out there.
Yeah, and I think the information that they provide on their website is very easy to understand as well. You know, really put in clear form, like, this is what I need to do, how to prevent it. And yeah, it's great, I think.
Life Fizal says, some of the xenophobic comments reflect quite accurately the ignorance of those making them. Mm. There was a gem about how the virus is divine retribution for how the Chinese authorities are treating the Uruguayans. Ha! So there you go, a bit of a spelling mix-up, an international mix-up, all over the place.
Yeah, it does really reflect badly on the people who, you know, who say those things. And I'm an idealist. I hope people can steer the conversation towards a more positive or constructive kind of direction. But, you know, that's just my hope.
If you'd like to weigh in on some of the xenophobia surrounding the coronavirus or about how to stop halt misinformation, call us at 7733-2900. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. It's the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.